The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, believe it or not, it's February 3rd already, and we're sponsored by Dr. William Wong. That's www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Steven Santangelo is a regular on the show, like all these gentlemen. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. Primal Creations at AOL.com or on Facebook. You can get Steven at STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Also, www.grasslandbeef.com. That's our good friend John Wood, also known as U.S. Wellness Meats, loaded with CLA, omega-3s. They're grass-fit started and grass-finished, which most people aren't doing. You can also get grass-fed lamb from John, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. So go out there, tell John we sent you. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. You can get that right off Jason Fulner's site, or you can get that off Amazon Prime for $5. I have one. It's a workout book, 8x6, lays flat. Excellent, excellent, excellent. StrongerGrip.com. They've been crafting gear for 10 years. They've done high-quality strength work for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and the trophies, as you've seen on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they make custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of guys and gals like us. StrongerGrip.com. And also, too, if you haven't seen it on Facebook, Ryan and I are running a contest that started on the 1st of February and goes to March 17th. You can win the exact sledgehammer he built for me. It's 25 pounds empty. You can load about 10 to 15 in the handle. It holds a whole lot of shot. It taps out at 83 pounds. All you have to do is upload your YouTube video of your best lift. We don't care what it is. And make sure when you do that, you put on the line FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash and what the lift is. And you can go down below and explain it in detail if you like. But do not forget to leave your email address, because that's the only way we're going to get a hold of you should you win this sledge. And the greatest thing, too, is if you win it, you're on Motivation and Muscle with me as a guest. And I do believe we're going to bring Ryan in and make it a three-way call. So go out there, load it up, show us what you got. You got till St. Patrick's Day, and I hope every one of you win. I'd love to see that. Don't forget, too, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Commit, take action. That's the best thing I could tell you to do. Our two biggest products to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle, all out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Strength is shot in HD. Winners is all audio. You can't beat what's there, I'm telling you right now. Everything that's on there is everything I've done. I don't put anything out that I've never done. There's so much stuff I've got to put out, it'd make your head spin right now. Also, too, sponsorship is gigantic here. Right now, it's still $100 a month. You get 5 to 15 shows a week. $30, because of the weather up here on the East Coast, goes to muscular dystrophy, obviously, for flu shots for the children. Because if they get a common cold like my brother did, he died of pneumonia. They get that upper respiratory. They can't fight it anymore. And when they have what Jimmy had, which was Duchenne, that is the roughest, nastiest form of muscular dystrophy. So we lost him due to that. So if we can save a few kids here, that'd be great. And remember, we're going to be around for 25 years, I guarantee you. And it'll be the best 25 of years of your life to join up with us, be part of my family, and the millions and millions of listeners we got. So, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com, you can get all that. Today, we have a good friend of the show. He's a monthly guest, and I'm going to give you a little bit on Will Dinwiddie, who's going to be on shortly with us. Obviously, Will's a trainer. He's a strong man. He's the owner of Epic Fitness Solutions, writer, arm wrestler. He's pretty much into everything, and we're going to bring him in right now. But before I do, we're going to talk about odd objects and building mass, man. You know, I love doing stuff like this. It's exciting. You know, we were just saying before we came on, strength and endurance, that's what we got to have for all our stuff. But I don't hear people saying, let's just go out and rip a one, you know, one rep max off and what it does. So, Will, welcome to Motivation Muscle, sir.
Thanks, Eric. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you. Give everybody a little bio, and let's get in, especially with, you know, RIP last night and everything.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm a multi-sport strength athlete. I'm currently still active. I compete in strongman. I compete as a professional arm wrestler, Moss wrestling, Highland Games, natural bodybuilding. What else do I do? Powerlifting. I'm an elite powerlifter. Yep. Been doing strongman since 2005. I pretty much at grip. I'm into grip now, grip sports, yep. Olympic lifting. I wanted to do it all because I saw the benefit of utilizing all these strength sports to make me into the ultimate athlete.
Yep, yep. You know, I want to tell you, too, I was saying when I was telling Will, I was lifting a keg this weekend, had a little accident with it. You know, and we got on video. I am going to put it up because I saw him one day doing it, and we were just doing some stuff to stretch the back out at the end. I was like, I wonder if I can clean this thing up. It was 200 pounds of water in it, and it was not a problem to clean it up. I did a first one up to about the chin, and then I let it down and just blew it right up over my head. And I backed into a rock, and the rock won because even though the keg was overhead, it took all the 200 pounds and went to my right side with it, and I let it go, and it must have went 3 feet and impaled itself in some other stones, and I fell down on my ass, and I was laughing in the video, so I'm going to get it up, all right? I'm lucky I didn't get killed, literally. So, but, you know, Will does a lot of the stuff with the Hoosa steel stones, and he's got cement ones, and we're going to get right into this because Will, I mean, obviously you like playing with dangerous toys, too, and we all know, you know, I'm still hurting a little bit in the lower back from what I did, but that's the way it goes. What is it about, you know, we love playing with these big, heavy, odd objects, and we know that, you know what the funny thing is? Everybody say, well, you know, I don't want to get big and this and that. I laugh at them. I said, how do you know if you even can get big? You know, it's like,
they act like that's an easy thing to do.
No shit. And, you know, the funny thing is I love conventional weightlifting, obviously, and you know, but I really like the rack work, as you know, and I love the stones and playing around with the sandbags and obviously the kegs. What is it you think, you know, especially now, describe to everybody about that RIP stone and let them get a little idea what you're playing around with here. And, you know, Will, what are you, about 235?
Yeah, I'm about 235, 240.
Okay, now, look, that's a big guy, but in today's world, they tell you it's not, all right? Now, and I'm going to make this quick, and I want to get you right in. When we had Andrew Derniat on yesterday, we had a guy that he's working with, Jake Reynolds. This guy's a 230-er, and I thought of Will right away when he was talking about what he said, where this guy is routinely, he did it the other day, he cleaned a 355-pound log and pressed it for three singles. So, Will, what is it about these odd objects is just so attractive to all of us?
Well, I think it's the challenge because they're so big, and you think that only the biggest men in the world can move these things. And for the most part, that's true. But then you get get smaller guys that are, you know, average size big, like me. You know, like I'm not a giant. I'm not 300 plus pounds. You know. but I like to take on the big weights that the big super heavyweights take on, you know. And so I think it's really just comes down to the challenge and overcoming all the pressures that go along with it, you know. Just the challenge, really.
Yeah. Well, you know what the funny thing is, too, when we were talking yesterday, and I know you can give voice to this because there's two things I'm going to hit upon. I think we talked about the one the other time. Pressing overhead is still a very nasty movement, and there's guys that are 300 plus that couldn't put 200 over their head. I know I've seen people. Okay, so right there, you know, that's a fallacy, I think, with a lot, because they figure, oh, I weigh 300, 350. I ought to be able to take, clean, and press. Or even if you're pulling it out of racks, you know, I should be able to nail a 300 pound. 300 pounds overhead is gigantic. I don't care who you are, man.
Yeah, that's
it's
a lot.
It's huge, right? And then secondly, we got into, you know, and we'll talk about this too with stones, obviously, right now. But I think I told you it was very interesting when we had Bill Crawford on here talking about a guy that came to his place. And this guy was over, I think he was close to a 700-pound deadlifter that had been bugging him to come over and lift stones. This guy couldn't even pull a 250 off the ground. And here we go again. See, where everybody thinks, well, the body weight. Well, he didn't have the finger, hand, and wrist strength. And everybody's like, well, he can deadlift that. Well, right. But you know what the thing is, Will? People understand. Just because you got a big deadlift doesn't mean it's going to equate to a 300-pound stone coming off the ground.
No, that's true. When I first started working out with Mark Wechter back in 2013, I was pulling 700 off the floor in the deadlift, but I couldn't get heavier than a 335 stone loaded. It wasn't.
Right.
I mean, deadlifting the stone wasn't the hard part. It was loading it. So.
Exactly.
You might be able to pick the stone up into your lap, but loading it is a whole different set of muscle groups, and you have to have a different set of conditioning to load than you do just to pick it up into your lap. So loading a big stone is a whole other series of strength. It's a whole other type of strength that you have to have. There's a guy named Andrew Palmer in Washington that I saw shoulder a 460-pound stone. But
wow.
His best deadlift, I think his best deadlift is around 765 or 8.
Yep.
I don't even think he's pulling 800 yet. But he could shoulder a 460 stone. I mean, so that's that's incredible. You know, like how do you explain that? You know, like
absolutely. Well, what do you think now? All right, since we are talking about mass builders, and you and I both love stones. Now, just explain to everybody about the RIP stone and what you did. Was it last night you tackled that?
Yeah, that was last night.
Okay. Tell everybody about that. And you know, one thing I love about this stuff, whether you want to gain more size or not, if you're lifting stuff like that, your body is going to make you do it regardless. So give us a little info on it and just tell us how you feel about building this mass you can build off this stuff.
Okay, yeah, sure. So this stone I bought from a Highland Games thrower. His name's Roger Moon. He lives up in Washington, and he built this stone like 5 or 6 years ago. It's got rebar in it. He made it himself. It's 9.5 inches thick. It's 335 pounds empty weight. Or obviously that's the weight. You can't load it, so it's not loadable.
Right.
It's just a concrete H stone, but it's 335 pounds. He had told me that only one other person had ever even lifted it, and the guy picked it up and moved it about 2 feet, and he was about 340, the guy that did it.
So,
you know, I'm 235, 240, and I was like, well, I'll take it further than that, you know, so I have a goal that I want to take it 100 feet. And we've talked about Mark Wechter, and Mark Wechter at 245 pounds. Took the H stone in Iceland, and he did the whole circle with it. He completed the distance, and that thing's 418 pounds. And so I was like, well, and then, you know, Zach McCarley also took a 400-pound plate loadable H stone in 2012 or 2013 at the Arnold Classic and won the amateur Arnold Classic that event. He beat out all the heavyweights, and he weighed 245 pounds, and he beat out guys that were 100 pounds heavier than him in max distance. So I figured, if those guys could do that, I could take this 335-pound stone. I don't care how thick it is. But here's the thing. The thing is so big, you can't get under it because it's also top-heavy because it's made of concrete and rebar. But it's all top-heavy. So I went to go pick it up, and I couldn't get under. I couldn't get a very deep grab underneath but because it was just going to – it wanted to topple forward out of my grip.
Right.
So.
Right.
I had to get a higher grip on it, which meant it hung lower between my legs because that's the only grip that I could get on it. And I knew once I picked it up, instantly I knew that there was no adjusting at that point because it was so big in thickness that you can't, like, pop it up at all. It's just – you'll lose your grip. And so it'll just ended up dropping it. So I picked it up, and I was like, once I immediately knew that I couldn't readjust, I was like, just start moving, you know. And so
moving, yeah, yeah.
I started moving forward, and the edges are so sharp that they like yep. cut into your thighs. So like when yep. it's rubbing against your legs on the inside of your legs, it's, you know, it's just pain, you know. And I was just like, I was moving forward, and then I tried to side shuffle with it because it was hurting every step, and then that made it even worse. And so, you know, I ended up dropping it after 16 feet. But, you know, I was thinking in my head, I was like, if I just straight shot it, I know I could have grinded out 25 feet, maybe 50 feet, but I think that with enough training, I could push it to 100 feet. But the reason why I like using big items like this is because when you lift big like that, you force your body to grow. It has no choice yep. because yep. you're forcing every muscle to be utilized at its maximum potential. So every muscle that's used to move something that big is being used, you know, like there's nothing that's yep. not being used. So you're forcing growth. And what we're talking about or what we're going to talk about is, you know, the odd objects.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go back a little bit to when I used to gym lift. When I gym lifted, when I was training as a bodybuilder, the biggest I ever got was 205 in body weight. It wasn't yeah. until I started doing these really heavy lifts that I shot up to 240 pounds. You know, like, and I don't yeah. want to say I shot up, because it still took a couple of years to get that big. But I've maintained this size, and I've slowly gotten a little bit big. I'm the biggest I've ever been at this point in my career consistently
yep.
at weighing
yep.
in around 240 lately. But it's because of all this heavy lifting, and people say that heavy lifting is bad for your body and bad for your back and your joints. And I'm like, well, I've been doing it for 20 years, and I'm like, and I'm the best I've ever been. I'm 35, you know, like I'm not
yeah.
getting weaker. It's just you, as you age, your recovery time is slower. So, but you got to yep. think about this. Is your recovery time really slower, or is it just it takes longer for you to recover because you're lifting bigger weights more regularly now? So you're taxing
totally
your
agree.
Body harder,
yep.
so it obviously takes more to recover yep. because you're lifting heavier. So I don't really think that I'm recovering any it's hard to say because sometimes I feel like I'm recovering slower, but I really just think it's just I'm lifting heavier, so it takes longer to recover because I'm taxing more of my muscles at one time than what I used to when I lifted lighter, you know?
Yeah, that makes total sense. A couple points I want to tell you too is with the stone pulling forward on you.
Yeah.
I've had that numerous times when I went to Iceland too. The Husafell did that to me. I kind of rectified that in a lot of ways. You know, we've got some apparatus on the side of the house, but I mean, you don't necessarily need it. The reason why we set it up is because I'm alone. I use a 2-inch handle. The flat dumbbell press, bench press, you know, laying
yeah.
flat on your back.
Yeah.
Because I'm laying on the lawn when I'm doing it, seems mm-hmm. to really rectify that problem with the pecs, because that scared the hell out of me because it used to do that to me too. So mm-hmm. what I do with them is we have these cables, these big, huge cables that hang off the 6x6s. And what I do is they're curled on the end and clamped. And I can put literally the dumbbell through them where I can lay under it, and it is hanging, and all I got to do is press it. So if I get caught, I let it go, and I'm safe, okay? I'm not hurt. Well, what I found was it really increased it seemed like I got a lot more density through the insertion and everything. I don't have these problems anymore. And the second thing I can tell you, because I've got this big cement ones out there too, and what we did to make them heavy was – when we built them, we stuck plates in them. So that
yeah.
thing's got a, that thing's
my,
got a
that's
load
how
of plates.
My stones
plates.
Are.
Yep, yep. So what I did with that is where before when I – what I do with them now is a lot different. I try – you know, they do on occasion try to go forward on me. But when I – if I can get down low enough on them and put that lock around them, what I do when I go to lift them – but you got to be careful because I've almost knocked myself on my back,
mm-hmm.
is I take them, when I go to pull them, I like yank them back at me where I'm trying to use as much of my back and everything when I do that, mm-hmm. if it makes sense to you,
oh, yeah.
and just be bolt upright. So, you know, a lot of people don't get this about lifting stones like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are all trying to I don't know if this will come out right, but I've seen enough of it, and I've been guilty of this. it's almost like you think your arms are what lifts it, and it's not. They support. Obviously, they have to be wrapped around a stone, but that whole hip girdle and everything else is engaged. That's where you're coming out. And I mean, I try to compress, coil everything together, and you, especially hamstrings, all that stuff to get rolling. But I just want to pass that along, Will, because the dumbbell press. The dumbbell flat bench laying on my back outside really has helped that pec. It's built a lot of strength, and I noticed that no matter what the stone is, it will not usually come forward on me very often now. And I got to attribute it to that, because that was just something I added in, because what I was afraid of was ripping a pec. That's, right in that insertion point. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. So I just wanted to tell you that. I mean, that was just information I came up with, and it's worked.
Well, I mean, I do know that when you're lifting stones and carrying it, you're squeezing a lot with your squeezing with your arms, and you're pulling up with your traps, but you're also squeezing with your pecs too to keep it tight, to keep your arms tight together, because you don't want you want your elbows as tight to your body as you can get them when you're pulling those stones. You don't want your elbows being flared out or being spread out, because then it makes it harder to carry.
You'll
have strong pecs to keep your elbows squeezed in.
Yeah, and I don't mean, the real pretty ones. I mean real functional, big and strong, because two things, with that thing, and I'll tell you what, if you're really squeezing a stone, like your sternum will kill you, man. And then secondly, I just like the idea of that tightness and that support like that. And, if you've got that stone wrapped properly, no matter what, you're going to be able to motor that thing. And I've gotten to the point where,
the breathing was the hardest, been the hardest part, is learning how to breathe while you're carrying something in front that's really heavy. So getting it set on your abs properly. Yep. So you got to figure that out for you as an individual. But for me, it's like I got to get it set kind of in my mid to lower ab range, let it sit there, because if it's too high and it's on my diaphragm, I just can't breathe.
Can't breathe.
And
no,
you can't move. So, I mean, you want to be able to breathe, so you got to get it set on your abs correctly. And that's another thing that takes time. It takes reps of practicing over and over again with these heavier weights.
Well, that's why I like when we got that piece that we built on the outside rack and the inside one. I can sit there and just keep pulling it, literally like a front squat, obviously, because you're going to have to do that the way I'm going to pull.
It's like a Zercher / front squat.
Absolutely. Yep. And I'll tell you what, I still like doing the dead stop back stuff, but right now I'm focusing only on the dead stop front squats now with the Apollon axle.
Pin presses with a dumbbell overhead or something like that.
Yeah, how'd you like that one?
Yeah, I've never seen that before. How'd you come up with that? What'd you come up with that for? I'm just curious.
Being alone. I'm sure you noticed it. It's across the width of the thing, and we're gonna sell these. I'm waiting. I got to send the proto down to Ryan Pitts, and we're gonna manufacture them. Mm-hmm. What this thing is, basically, it's a rack within the rack. And the long rods go through this tubular frame and go all the way through to the back of the power rack and pin on both sides. And then the whole center of this rack is wide open, so you can put any size dumbbell at any hole in a power rack. So if you want to lay on your back and do floor presses with it, you can do it. You want to do bent rows, you want to do deadlifts. I specifically got it for pressing because I can clean and press, that's fine, but if I want to overload, what am I going to do? I didn't have chains in front. So I came up with this idea, man, sturdy as hell, you couldn't break it, and I can go bananas on it. So, that's why I did it.
Right on, man, that's a great, cool idea, it's innovation.
Well, you know what, we all know when you're forced to do things alone, you better get creative or you're going
you
to get killed or you don't do it.
Yep, you got it, or else, you, no excuse.
Yeah, well, Well, that's the same thing with the steel stones when I designed them, where, the way we fill them, we run the dual fill action tubular in it, and I put those short plate trees. And, when you're talking about top heavy, that's where I effed up on the first stone. we only ran the tube down to the bottom and never split the stone in the center so we could add to the top. So when you go to pick that thing, it was trying to pancake in front of me. So basically, by
yeah,
that I mean,
that's
hit
what
the
ground,
big right?
stone did yesterday. Yeah,
exactly. So what I did was I said, well, here's an idea. I'll put these big carriage bolts welded into each corner, and I think I can put the thin tens, the real thin one, like the cap tens. I don't know if they make anymore. I can get another 200 pounds of that stone. So that rectified the bottom end where it was causing that. So now I had a little bit of equalness. And you know, people say, well, you know, you got – no, you don't. Look it. When you're training, you want to make things work for you. I'm not saying make them easy. And they're like, I never used to use tacky. I'll tell you what, since I had the injury to the bicep, I don't use it a lot, but I'm not afraid to say on the show I use tacky too. I'll tell you what, not to the point where you see these guys, it's just covered. I'm just saying a little that goes in the stone for two reasons. Number one, if it's hot as hell here, the chances of it coming out of you, it can happen because mine are steel that I use.
Yeah.
And sweat, et cetera, et cetera. And second of all, look, I've had that injury there. I don't feel like screwing around and say, hey, I didn't use tack. I'm not using tacky when I go over to Iceland, obviously. But what I'm saying is if you have to use it in your training a little bit, big deal. Who
yeah,
cares?
I mean, people, you know, like I use tacky for all my stone loading. You
yeah.
know, I hardly ever go raw with stone loading. I just, you know, now are we talking about stone loading or H stone carries?
Either or. I'm doing an H stone. Yeah. Because, see, Will, I'm not doing
well,
any
– Well, I know guys that'll put tacky yeah. on their chest when they do log clean and press when if they
oh,
go
yeah.
shirtless so they can get the log clean down easier. I mean, I've seen yep. that before. And so I'm yep. like, you know, people will get creative to get the job done, you know. Like they just want to move that weight, you know. So it's like – and yep. I don't blame because I like to move weight too. I got some shit about it this weekend when I went to go lift at a gym in another yep. town. You know, I wanted to do some 18-inch pulling and on a Texas deadlift bar, you know, because I was
yep.
feeling like I wanted to pull some weight. And it didn't work out the way I wanted. And then I pulled the bar down to the ground and finished out my workout down to the ground on the ground just doing regular deadlifts or sumo deadlifts. And, you know, I got a better workout with the Texas deadlift bar from the floor than I did from the 18-inch position.
Yeah.
And
yep.
so I was
yep.
like, I did that 950 18-inch pull with a stiff junk bar that I ended
yeah,
up bending. And so I was like, well, if I could pull that with a shit bar, what could I do with a good bar that could handle the load? And it was, and it's built for to have flex in it. Well, again, like I said, it didn't work out in the 18-inch position like I had planned or like I had hoped. But what I did realize is that those Texas deadlift bars are awesome from the floor position. So when you take them from a regular position from the floor, from the 8-inch position from the floor, you get a ton of – they're just – I love the Texas deadlift bar for regular deadlifting. I'll
yeah,
just put
yep,
it like
yep.
that. But it's because I like lifting heavy, dude. And people
yeah.
give me shit sometimes about why you lifting those – why are you doing 18-inch deadlift? And I'm like, just because I want to lift something heavy. That's why. I'm like,
yeah, no
I'm not
shit.
Doing it for you. And I get
yep.
I get accused of being an ego lifter. It's not that I'm an ego lifter. It's just that I know that I like lifting heavy. And I'm
yep.
not – it's not – has nothing to do with ego. It's just that I like lifting heavy. That's just the way I lift. Every time I lift heavy. It's the way I've always done it, you know. And I'm like, I've done some programming where we worked on percentages. And I'm not a fan of working on percentages because I feel like if you lift heavy as often as every day, if you lift as heavy as you can handle, that is your percentage training. So because
absolutely.
not every day are you going to be able to lift. If your best deadlift is 500 pounds, you can't deadlift that same 500 pounds every single day that
nope.
you go to deadlift. So if you're deadlifting once or twice a week, you're not going to be able to always pull your max deadlift every time. But if you're pulling as heavy as you possibly can every single day, one day you might, you know, pull your 500, that's your PR, and then the next day you're pulling 475 for a double or a triple, you know, or the next day you're doing 450 for 4 or 5, you know, like you're not always going to be able to get your best numbers, but you can take some of the lighter numbers and squeeze out some more reps. So when
yep.
you are feeling fully recovered again, when you do hit your big maxes again, then you inch up a little bit. So you, instead of 500, now you're at 515 or 520. But that's how I've always done it my whole career, and I'm continuing to get stronger as time goes on. So it's like just because of the principle, I just keep it basic. Lift as hard as you can handle on a daily basis, and every day will be different from the next. So
and you're
100% intensity is all you need. Consistency and intensity. That's Mark Wechter's biggest thing is consistency and intensity. How consistent are you with your training, and how intense are you every time you train?
Well, you know what it is, Will? Simple things go right by people, and they want to just convolute, like
make it complicated with these percentages
it's
and
unreal.
Shit. And I'm like, I don't like the percentage training because to me, it's just like there's too much calculations and stuff, and I'm like, you're holding back, and I'm like, I don't want to hold back. I want to go hard as I can handle every day. That way, I know that I gave my best every day. You know, like some people like the percentage training. I'm not a fan of it, and I get and I'm 35 after 20 years of training. And I'm still getting stronger. So, I mean, whatever works for you, do it. But, you know, that doesn't really work for me.
Well, as I always say, you know, instinctual and primal.
Instinctual training. That's these last, like, 5 years of my career, especially the last two, I have almost exclusively lifted off instinctual training. Whatever I feel like I can do, that's what I do.
I could have
a scheduled day to do squats, but if I'm not feeling squats and I want to do heavy yoke, I switch it.
Yeah.
I don't do squats and I do heavy yoke. Or if I'm not feeling heavy yoke because my knees are jacked up, then I might do leg press, or I might do front squat, or I might do squat cleans, or something like that. I have a set program that I write for myself, but I'm always deviating from it because it doesn't always work the way I wrote it out, because your body may not want to do that. It may not be ready for that again. Like you may have a plan that you're doing bench presses every week, but your shoulders might not be able to handle bench presses, or your elbow might not be able to handle it this week.
Exactly.
Like maybe you're doing wide grip bench presses with your elbows out. So maybe this week you can't do wide grip bench presses, but you could do reverse grip presses with your elbows in. So you're still getting your bench press work, and it's just indirectly training the same muscle groups, you know what I'm saying? So it's like instead of training mostly pecs, now you're focusing on your triceps, but you're still doing a bench press. It's just a different variation of a bench press.
That's because people can't walk out of the circle and figure it out. And you know, like my stuff around here is like everything is dominate and obliterate, no matter what it is. It's like, you know, I told Will the stuff that happened with the keg the other day, you know, I messed some stuff up, and I'm still sore as hell and haven't slept too good the last few nights. But tomorrow night I'm going out. I'll just do some light stuff. And this is what I want to tell you. I've noticed two things that I think that have really helped my stone lifting big time. And they always say I can use them in two different ways. I can do them because we're talking about mass builders. I can use them that way, or I like to sometimes use them for a warm-up. And this is something I want to ask you, but I'll just finish this up. You know what I'm really sick and tired of hearing from people, and I don't get it, is like, well, if you do those two movements, they're going to take away from your stone lift. And I say, I disagree. If I'm warmed up to the max and I can walk in and start out with, say, another 50 pounds on that stone, how am I losing? Now, I'll tell you the two lifts I've been using in warm-ups. And I do them heavy, and I like to sometimes do the glued ham. I've got an original Michael Yeses glued ham, which he was the originator of them. That is a devastating machine. And you want to have rhomboids and spinal erectors? Let me tell you something. Put your time in that. Now, I use that as a warm-up, and people always say to me, well, that's taken away from your lifting because you're tiring your back out. I'm not using a bar across my neck. I'm not using cables or anything in front of me to increase, you know, more weight, et cetera, et cetera. And then second of all, speaking of you, because you like doing this and I do too, if I want to do it outside, which I like to do because, you know, I'm already getting ready. Wait till you see what I got plans for.
I love training outside.
Well, I've got these wooden pole blocks at a guy who's a master carpenter. He built cabinetry. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to put me together these things. And you ought to see these, Will. I'll take some pictures when I'm pulling on them. I swear to God, you could drive a truck over them. They probably wouldn't break. So I like to go out before I do stone lifting, and I just like pulling from those blocks. And I use the bumper plates because I just like the whole look, the feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be any more than 200 pounds. It could be 150. I love pulling high poles, man. Those trapped, pumped, and everything. And so I might do a series of It might only be like 3 or 4 sets at a very light weight for some high pulls, and then I'll do some, you know, yes is good, you know, the glute ham, and then I might have a stone set up in the power rack at below knee height, and then I've got the crusher, or I've got the other one. Let me tell you, I've done a series of rounds with those four movements, so I'd be doing the high pull, the glute ham, it might not be in that order, it could be either or, and then I go in the power rack, and for the day, I might just take a 300-pound stone from mid-shin and pull five singles of that, and we'll walk with the crusher, say, 50 feet up and back, and it weighs, what does that thing weigh? We made that one pretty light. That thing, I think, weighs 120 unloaded. And then that'll hold, that thing will easily hold all together with the plates loaded. That's at least a 450-pound steel stone.
Wow, it is that's huge.
Yeah, so you tell me, seriously, you know, we're talking about mass and busting up big body and all that. If you're going, and you know, people be like, well, you got to get used to it. I'm like, ah, screw it, man. You go in and do what you can do, like
yeah,
you're talking about.
Yeah, just do it. Forget
do
it. How are you going to get
right.
used? Dude, just do it, man. That's how you get used to shit, is just go out there and start doing it.
Well, you know something? It's like in business, you have to be reckless in your thinking at times. I'm not talking about reckless to hurt yourself, but you have to sometimes
take risks.
Yeah.
What you're saying. You got to be able to willing to take risks.
Yeah, and it's like, I got news for you. Those two movements warm me up to walk into those stones, and I'm like a beast, man. I mean, I'm ready to tear the top off something, you know? And
yeah, that's funny you talk about the way you warm up, because the other day I had Grant Higa at my gym. He's a heavyweight pro strongman. He's been doing pro strongman for almost 20 years. Anyway, he comes in, and he's 45 years old. You know, I'm 35, you know, like he He's you know, he's a little bit more busted up probably than I am, you know. But he's doing his warm-ups. He's got his bands out. He's rolling around on the foam roller. And I just put my clothes on, you know, like I get my Reebok pants on and my knee sleeves on, put my weightlifting shoes on, and then I just go out and start lifting. And they're like, that's how you warm up? And I'm like, that's how I've always warmed up. I've never stretched in my entire career. I've never stretched. I've always just went out there and started small, started with the empty weight, and worked my way up. And I have never had a problem. I've torn both my biceps off, but that wasn't because they had a lack of flexibility. That was just because I made a mistake in the way I picked up the axle bar with my supinated hand. And then with my right hand, when I tore my right bicep off, it was because of an old injury. I'd broken my right elbow in an arm wrestling tournament when I was 16. I had lost 20% range of motion in my arm, so my elbow had healed slightly bent. And so when I go to pick up a deadlift with my right hand supinated, my arm is already bent because it won't straighten. And so when I jerk into a weight after I get past the knee, that's what popped the bicep off. And so I was gonna lose that.
It's gonna
bicep.
Go anyways.
It was gonna go sooner or later anyway. But the point is going back to the warm up. It's like if people put a lot of effort into the way they warm up, and I just feel like that's a waste of time. I'm like, your body will naturally warm up when you start going through the movement. If you want to do stretches, stretch after your train. I mean, don't stretch before, stretch after, you know, like, you do whatever you feel is best for you, of course, as an individual, you know, but I've never stretched before I've worked out. I've always just went in there and just started and then I warm up throughout as I get into my moderate sets, you know, because it usually takes me about 5 to 10 sets before I'm hitting my work weight anyway. So it's like those warm-ups, they're going to get your adrenaline pumping. They're going to get you sweating. They're going to get your heart rate up, starting light and slowly adding more and more. And now I'm not saying the way I do it is the right way. I'm just saying, you know, that works for me. And it really would work for a lot of people. You know, like it's not, I'm not some freak or nothing. That's the way I've always done it. And a lot of people are scared to go in there without stretching out or whatever first. I'm like, you don't need to do that, you know? Like, what you really need to do is train hard and stretch after. When your muscles are hot and stretched out, when your muscles are hot and your joints are lubricated from a hardcore lift, that's when you stretch. You would want to stretch after a lift, not necessarily before. You just want to get started. You want to get your body warmed up by moving, you know? So you could do dynamic stretching before a lift, but You really don't need to put a lot of like static stretching or a lot of that. I feel like that's a lot of it's just fad. It's just what they see. A lot of people see what somebody else does and they're like, oh, well, that must be the right way to do it. You know, like figure out what the right way is for you by trying things. But you may realize that just getting in there and doing it is the best approach. I feel like that you could really do. You know, like none of my clients. I don't stretch any of my clients out before we start lifting, and they have all grown stronger. They have all grown bigger, more muscular. I've built champions this way. It's just, you know, everybody's different, of course, in their approach. But you know, like if you're gonna stretch after a lift, not before.
Well, perception is everything. I'll tell you some. I do some other body weight stuff, but I'll tell you besides what I'm doing now with those movements.
I just look at it like this, Eric. I look at it like this. I go, listen to this. If you come upon an accident scene in real life, are you going to stretch first before you go pick up that car, that boulder off that person? Are you
hell
going to be like,
no,
oh, wait, I got to get my belt on, I got to get my equipment on? Yeah. No, you're going to react, and guess what you're going to find out? You're going to find out that you can react really well under pressure. So why not train like that? Train like you were going to come upon an accident scene, and you have to react. You know what I'm saying? So that's I try to keep it as realistic as I can. Like you're coming, you're driving on the road, and you see somebody pushing their car off the road. Are you going to stretch before you get out there and help them push the car off the road? No, you're just going to get out there and do it, you know? So you don't stretch for that. Why do you think you need to stretch before you go into a heavy lift session, you know? Like, you start out light anyway. It's not like you're going to jump into it's not like you're going to go from 0 to 500 on the squat, you know, starting out. Who does that? That's, of course, where you would probably want to stretch before you attempted it, is if you were going to take a huge jump like that. But if you're starting a regular workout, And you just go in there, you're going to start with the bar first, always, and then slowly add more and more as you go on.
Well, I'll tell you something that I do, which works like crazy. You can do it on your off days, and I've had a lot of success with it. I'll take one. I've got some of those old York short bars with the steel centers on them, which you can't get anymore. And that thing weighs, I think, about 20 pounds, 20 to 25. And what I'll do, if I really want to kind of get into it really nastily as a break to whatever I'm doing, I might load that bar up just say to 30 pounds, and I'll always do a pull, push, pull.
Mm-hmm.
Pull, push, pull. So I'll start off, say it's 30 pounds. I'll do 5 rounds of a minimum of 20 reps, okay? And I'm not a big rep guy, but this stuff will get you smoking. So I'll go round and around, 5 rounds of 20 of each. So you're going from, say, a bent row, overhead press, barbell curl. Now, you can choose anything you want. You can add more exercises. It's totally up to you. Do that, man. Your body will be smoking. I can walk in, and I did this for a reason. I was so sick of going through the standard basic stuff. I wanted to be able to come in at any time and walk in and do 90% or a little less of my maximum.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a long time to master this, though, but I'm telling you right now, if you learn how to do that, you will. And the benefit of using that barbell like that, you want to build some muscularity and more size, and that's always my gig with everything. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I love going out on the next day and doing those 3 movements, and I'll do like 5 rounds of 20. I mean, I never got up to the 100s, but I was working on it until I started other stuff. I was trying to get up to 5 sets of 100 for each movement.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. That's 1,500 reps, man.
That's insane, dude.
and you know what you got to have out there, Will? You got to have like a quart of protein with you to sip on, and I'll tell you why. Our surroundings dictate – you and I have talked about this. I do little things like that where whether it's going to make you gain or not, you know, I see that protein. You know what I'll do? I bring my blender out to the garage sometimes, and I'll have the concoction all made, and I'll have it sitting on the blender, plug it in. I'm firing up protein drinks while I'm doing, you know, 5 sets of 20, 5 sets of 30 with those 3 movements, and I don't care what anybody says. I'll be out there, I'll just sip on that thing, and I swear to God, you feel like Superman. You know,
that's awesome. Yeah, I'll do the same. I don't blend protein shakes, but I have protein shakes at the gym, and I'll just be drinking on those in between sets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel you're just the life, man. You're living the life of a true athlete, a true strength training athlete.
Hey, you look at the old guys, they all sip, you know, Bruce Randall, any of those guys, Anderson, they all sip milk when they were lifting, man. Mm-hmm. They used to guzzle a gallon of milk, dude.
Yeah.
Look, I know we're at time. We're at 10:50 my time. You wanted to – we can pick this up. Me and you get going. We could talk for hours.
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
You know, like some of the guys said to me the other day, and I wish this was you too. They were like, damn, I wish we all lived near each other.
I know. Man, that'd be awesome. I'd love to train with you.
Because same here.
Your weight pile out in your out near your house is just – It
you
takes
like
up
that?
Your whole backyard, yeah. It just
takes up the whole back, man. I'm
gonna iron and barbells and just it's awesome. Yep. I love seeing your videos. I love seeing all over the place.
You know what I'll do? I'll take some pictures too of the garage and the side with the 6x6s. I think you'd really dig that, man. I'll do that this weekend if we're not raining here because you'll get to see what's in that one car garage, and I guarantee you the next time we talk or if you send something back to me, as I'll send you the link and I'll put it up too on the site, you'll be like, how the hell do you get anything else?
Did you make all those stones yourself?
A lot of that stuff I made, yeah. And, you know, I've got about 5 more designs, and once we get the currency, Will, I'm gonna sell all this stuff.
Awesome.
The next thing I'm going to do, and I'm not going to be an asshole and make it unaffordable for people. We're probably not going to make a lot on it, but we're going to have it out there for everybody. The next thing I want to get into, that'll be next year, but I've got a lot of other smaller stuff in between. Mm-hmm. I've designed what I want. I'm going to build a back lift next year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I want
I've
to get into back.
I've never used one of those, but I've seen those. I always want to try one.
And in 17, if we're going, I can get to Iceland in the spring. And Adam Glass wants to go to Scotland, and he's like, would you want to go in December and try the stones? I said, I can say yes to you, but I don't know. That's a thing that's sitting on the burner. Next year, when things are really, really cooking and I can do what I want money-wise, I'm going to go to Spain, and I want to learn how to bass stone lift. That's what I want to do.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. But I know we're pushed for time, and we'll why don't you give out all your information? I'll give you mine, and I'll give mine. Just hang on for a minute. I'll get you off the phone.
Sure. Okay. Cool.
So shoot whatever you got.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Sorry.
All right.
Yeah. Again, my name is Will Dinwiddie. My gym is Epic Fitness Solutions. The facility. My website is Epic Fitness Solutions. Multi-strength sport competitor. And if you want information on me, you can find me on Facebook. But go check out my Epic Fitness Solutions website and check out my bio if you want to learn more about me.
Cool. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by www.docsprefer.com. That's Dr. Wong. Soranex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Also by Steven Santangelo. He's got the greatest stuff, Athlete's Choice. Primal Creations at AOL.com. Facebook, STEPHEN, period. SANTANGELO, period, 75. www.grasslandbeef.com, also known as U.S. Wellness Meats. John Wood. Super, super guy, big supporter of the show. I can tell all the lifters out there, Will, you might be interested. I've been taking this. Go out and get his beef gelatin. It's all grass-fed. This stuff will build ligaments and tendons and bones on you. Like, you wouldn't believe he just sent me a case of it. You put it in hot water if you want and drink it like a tea. It is smoking. So go out to grasslandbeef.com. Tell John we sent you. Also, too. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. That's Jason Fulner. Pretty easy. Workout book. You can track your progress, et cetera, et cetera. StrongerGrip.com. Don't forget, too, about the contest. Upload your video to YouTube. You can win that $350 sledgehammer that Ryan built for me. It's worth it. Just make sure you put an email address and on the heading, FBC and Stronger Grip, so we know where it is. And I wish everybody the best of luck on that. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. All out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Don't forget about sponsorship. That's on both sites, FiorellaBarbellCo.com, Motivation and Muscle. Be part of our family, the millions strong. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. Everybody has, and I thank them for that. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle, Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with this. Oh, if there's a show you'd like Will and I to do, too, don't hesitate. Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'm sure we can accommodate you. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them some words of encouragement. We know what words can do. Keep it positive. Keep it flowing. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get. I can attest to watching people walking with their head down. They just look beaten, man. If you're going to go out and lift some iron and stones, you know, turn them into dust, bend some iron up. You know, go out and really give your all, man. Just do it. Go out and do it. And as the Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We are millions strong. We are the family, man. I'm telling you. You join up with us, you're going to have the best 25 years of your life, I promise you. And I'll tell you right now, the new theme here is dominate and obliterate, and I mean that. Also, too, no one's ever going to clip our balls, and as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. Russell, I always thank you for that. That was one of the nicest things we've ever had said here. I promise you, till the day we sign off here, we will always say that. Will Dinwiddie, once again, short and sweet, but, man, right to the point, and thanks for being on, sir.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It was a lot of fun. I love it.
Anytime, Will. It's great to have you on. You're a very inspirational man, I'll tell you that, and I know people out there know that. So for Will Dinwiddie, this is Eric Fiorello. You know, listen, Will will be on next month. He's on every month with us. But as I always say, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the sidelines. Get involved, man. Get involved and spread the word about us. We're coming at you no matter what. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.